So turn over to Zechariah chapter 4 real quick. This is a prophecy to Zerubbabel. We got in this very heavy that all the prophecies of Zerubbabel from Zechariah chapter 4 and especially Haggai chapter 2, where there was a prophecy to him that there would be a wealth transference and his glory of his latter-day house would be greater than Solomon's. That never happened. And God marked, he said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. And he said there'd be a transference of wealth like Solomon's day. That never happened in Zerubbabel's time. All his prophecies were for another time. And they weren't fulfilled in the early church either. This candlestick, before I get too far into it, was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 4. One of the interesting things it said, verse 2, he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I've looked and behold a candlestick of gold and a bowl upon the top of it and seven lamps therein and seven pipes to the seven lamps and two olive trees upon the right side and of the bowl and one upon the left side. And all of this meant something. It was the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel saying, not by might, not by power. All this was a prophetic picture of what was to come. In fact, it wasn't spoken of again until the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, John was caught up in the heaven. He saw this. He saw what this was prophetically painting a picture of. But one of the things he said, and I really want to bring this out, verse 7, he said, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, or this word, this candlestick, you will be leveled ground, and he would bring forth the headstone. Say headstone. When he said he brought forth a headstone, this was not a cornerstone message. It was a headstone message. The temple had two stones. One was a foundation stone. Isaiah said, behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a precious stone, a foundation stone, a tried cornerstone. And Peter picked that up. But that was the cornerstone. In fact, that was the early church's entire mission, to lay that cornerstone down, that foundation stone. And the house was going to be built upon that foundation. But what Zerubbabel's prophecies and what this lampstand was a prophetic operation that was to come. It was for another day, but it was a headstone or a capstone operation. It was the final stone to be laid into the temple. And he said he'd bring forth the headstone by way of this lampstand and by way of this operation, these two olive trees. All of this was speaking about the final stone to be laid, which is our generation, by the way. It's the headstone capstone of the temple, praise the Lord. And we looked at some prophecies about that on Sunday. I can't get into it, but it's really powerful stuff. So what we're talking about was not the foundation stone of the early reign, it was the headstone of the latter reign. And so when John gets called up to heaven, he sees this lampstand in heaven, and he sees the operation of it. He sees what was actually prophesied to Zerubbabel in Haggai chapter 2 about the wealth transference and the glory, and he sees this lampstand, which we're gonna get into in just a minute. So I want you to now, that's all I can say about that. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1. The very first mention of this lampstand. Now, the lampstand, one of the things you need to understand about this lampstand, it has a lot of operations in it. It's going to be described as the church, and then it's going to be described as the Holy Spirit and his operations. And then it's going to show and develop into witnesses. The lampstand is a witness to the last days. It's a powerful witness. It's an operation prophesied in Zechariah chapter 4, but for our day. Amen. Now watch what he says in verse 4. It's like, I'm going to take you up through chapter 5 of Revelation. I'm going to take you into chapter 6. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you in peace. Now, he's going to give some salutations. It's interesting here, the salutations. It says, from him, he's given a salutation to the church, from him which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness. Now, there are three salutations there. Him that was and him that is to come. I'd imagine talking about the Father, the I Am. Then we see in verse 5, it says, and from, say, and from. The seven spirits of God gave a salutation. He said, from him that was and him to come and from the seven spirits of God. We're bringing you salutation from the seven spirits of God. He was marking the person of the Holy Spirit right there. When you hear seven spirits of God, now remember the lampstand, as many operations, but when you hear the seven spirits of God, you are talking about the person of the Holy Spirit in his perfection of his operations. Amen? So right there we see the first salutations from the Father, Holy Ghost, and the Son. And the Holy Ghost was marked as the seven spirits of God. That's really important. Now, in chapter 1, when the first revelations of the lampstand is going to come out, and there's a reason why he begins this, he's going to show the revelation first of the lampstand being the church, and then secondly, he's going to show the revelation of the Holy Spirit in his involvement with the lampstand. This is very important because of where the church is going and what he's about to say about it. So let's look what he says. Just backing up a little bit. Verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice and a trumpet. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and last. He goes, what thou seest, write in a book. And then he lists the seven churches. In verse 12, he says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And as I turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks or seven lampstands. This is, since Zechariah's day, this was not mentioned. He's about to see what Zechariah saw. Amen. One of the first revelations of what Zechariah saw, he says, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man. Say, one like the Son of Man. So he said, I saw seven candlesticks, and then he saw in the midst of it, one like the Son of Man. He's going to tell you what the candlesticks were, the first revelations in chapter 1. So look at verse 20. He tells you what the candlesticks were. He said, in the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest at my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks or the seven lampstands which thou sawest are what? The seven churches. The church as a whole. Jesus was dwelling in the midst of the church. Not only was he dwelling in the midst of the church, he was walking in the midst of the church. This is a time where Jesus comes up out of his throne and he began walking in the midst of his church. How do we know that? Because he says it to the first church. If you'll turn right over to chapter 2, the very first verse, he said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh, look at this, say walketh, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He's now walking. We're in an end time operation where he's come back up off his throne, and now he's beginning to walk in the midst of his church again. He's getting ready to do something that has not been done in any former generation. And the Lord is walking in the midst of his church. He's about to start walking again right in our midst. He's walking in the midst, preparing his churches for the end time prophesy movement. It's going to be different than the first church. It's going to be different. It has a different testimony. That was the foundation stone. We're going to bring forth the capstone. He was the type of Zerubbabel. He's going to finish this temple, and he's going to lay that final stone in. And it's going to happen in our generation. Oh, hallelujah. God has three principal witnesses. Three different operation of witnesses that are going to get released. And this lampstand has a part in all three of them. So he's walking. There's a reason why he chose the first revelation of that, those candlesticks that was prophesied Zechariah 4. He's walking in the midst of it. He's getting ready to light that candlestick. How do you know that? Okay, I'm glad you asked that question. Go to chapter 4. Now he's going to give you another revelation of the candlestick. Not only is it the churches, but the candlestick also embedded. And Zechariah 4 said it was. He said there were seven eyes in the midst of that candlestick. When you see seven eyes, you're going to see in a minute, those seven eyes are directly connected to the seven spirits of God. I'll show you that in a minute. Well, let's look at chapter 4. First, he begins with the church. Now he's going to shift. He's going to show you the Holy Spirit's operation because he's getting ready to do something. And it's going to be something powerful. Hallelujah. Whoa. Wait till we get to chapter 6. Don't go over there. Revelation chapter 4. Now let's look at this again. We've been over this. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Most powerful. Praise the Lord. He said, after this I looked and beheld, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it were the trumpet talking with me and said, come up hither and I'll show you things to come hereafter. That's super important because he's about to get the unfolding revelation of the book of Revelation. And it's a coming hereafter. It wasn't for his generation. It was a hereafter event. chapter 4, 5, and 6 never stop. They're all one thought. They should all have been one chapter. You shouldn't ever demark chapter 4, 5, and 6 because he never stops. Everything he saw all the way through. And particularly, you need to put all those chapters together if you want to understand how this works. Amen? So what does he say? Come up here. I'm going to show you after. Look at verse 5. Most important verse. Now he's going to introduce the person of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to introduce his involvement with a lampstand. Directly ties the Holy Spirit into the lampstand of Zechariah 4. He says, out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning. Seven lamps. Say seven lamps. The better rendering is there are seven torches. If they were on the throne, they were in the right hand of God. They were sitting there burning, seven torches burning, seven torches burning. He tells you what those torches are. They're burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now he shifts the revelation. First he says the torches are the candlestick that Jesus walked in the middle of is the church. Now he's going to show you the Holy Spirit's involvement with that lampstand. Because that lampstand has many operations and many levels and many testimonies. It's going to reach all the way to the end of the tribulation. It's not even going to burn out. When we get lifted out, it's just getting started. But we get a major operation from it before we get lifted out. He says, so the seven lamps, he says, are the Holy Spirit. So he describes this lampstand you're seeing. It's the Holy Spirit. It is the seven spirits of God, the perfection of the Spirit that dwells before the throne. Chapter 5. Look at verse 1. He says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, and on the backside there were sealed with seven seals. Amazing, that candlestick had seven candles and there were seven seals. A bunch of sevens going on with that lampstand, I'm going to tell you that. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? John was going, he couldn't find him. And all of a sudden, what happened? Verse 6, he says, I beheld in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Verse 6, and behold, lo, in the midst of the throne, he said to the four beasts, they're trying to find who's going to open this book. Somebody's got to open the book. Somebody's got to be worthy to open the seals. This is huge. He saw in the midst of the throne the four beasts, in the midst of the elders and the lamb that had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. Now the lamb didn't have little horns growing out of his head. You have to understand what's going on. What's he say the seven horns and the seven eyes are? Let's first see what he says they are. Now get this. Don't check out. Understand what's about, he's about to say here. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth in all the earth. So a minute ago we saw this lampstand with the seven spirits of God, but now he's telling you the seven spirits of God are the Holy Spirit's resting upon Christ, the Lamb that was slain, but it's resting upon him as seven horns and seven eyes. What does that mean? It's the perfection. What does the horn represent? Kings and kingdoms. The Antichrist was described as a horn. He had 10 horns with him, 10 kings. When they would anoint a king, they would use a horn of oil. David was anointed with a horn of oil. Solomon was anointed with a horn of oil. So the horns was the perfection of his kingly reign, resting upon him in the right hand of God. He said, he's worthy to open this book. And there were seven horns, but then there were the seven eyes. Both of them were describing the operation of the seven spirits of God. The seven eyes was his priestly ministry, and the seven horns was his kingly ministry. John was looking at the king-priest government resting upon Christ. He was looking at it. He says, those seven horns, seven eyes, that's the seven spirits of God that are resting upon him. The perfection of his kingly anointing. The perfection of his priestly anointing. That's really important, though. Because that was about what's going to be released. When we look at the prophecy of Zechariah and Haggai chapter 2, that there was going to be a well transference released. And it never happened. Because he was a headstone prophecy. It was for the last day church. There was going to be a time where God's people would rule and they would reign. The early church were overcomers, but they suffered at the hand of persecution. They were given the 300 years of persecution and they overcame. That was their call. But the last day church, what I would call the bridal company. Now the church is the bride. You understand? Everybody that's went before us is the bride. But there's a bridal company alive in the earth. And before she gets lifted out, she's going to be given testimony. And it talks about it right here in this chapter. John sees the seven horns and seven eyes. He sees the king, priest, government resting upon Christ. And that government's about to release because it said it. He said there's seven horns and seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God sent forth in all the earth. This was an anointing that was going to get released in the last hour. Because why? He was looking at things to come. He saw this anointing resting upon Christ. He saw the seven horns and the seven eyes, the Holy Spirit in that form. And it was said he was sent forth in all the earth. He watched all that. He was looking at things to come. He was looking at our generation. A prophesied mantle of God that was going to come. A mantle the body of Christ would receive and become kings and priests unto their God to rule and reign in the earth. He actually talks about that. Now, before I go there, look at verse 7. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, Jesus comes and takes the book. Because they're asking, who's worthy to take this book to start this thing? Because the seven seals begins everything. You understand that. Once that book's open and once that first seal comes down, everything begins. Everything begins. There's no turning back. It's going to prepare the gateway for the last days, the last of the last days. And once that begins, all of it begins to unfold one after another. They're asking, who's worthy to open this book? And the Lamb comes forth and he takes the book out of the right hand of the Father. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and the 20 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now notice this. Having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Any of you intercessors heard about a golden bowl stirring dunamis power up in the golden bowls? Stirring up the golden bowl. The prayers of the saints are going up right now. You have no idea how close this is to these seals to open. These seals are about to open. The elders are gathering the prayers of the saints right now. They're being collected in bowls. Golden bowls. With dunamis power in them. The prayers of the saints, the ones that are in tune, the ones that are connected, the ones that are in position, that know who they are. The ones that have got this up inside of them, that are praying in alignment and understanding the purposes and the mind of God. Those prayers are ascending and being collected by elders that are about to present the fullness of those prayers. Why? Because the fullness of those prayers is what begins the seven seals. They took the prayer. See, the prayer was made already for all this to happen. Do you understand what's going on here? They're collecting the prayers because when he opens the book, all the prayer has already been made. That's what's been going on. And they sang a new song, verse 9. So thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. And thou was slain and redeemed unto us to God by the blood of every kindred and every tongue and people and nation, has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Say, reign on the earth. In the tribulation, the saints of God are not going to be reigning on the earth. It's very clear. The Bible says, and I'll be getting into this in the coming weeks, that power is given to the Antichrist over the saints. But here it says they're going to reign on the earth. He said that I saw as a lamb and slain seven horns and seven eyes, which is seven spirits of God. Whatever I was looking at got sent into the whole earth. I saw this mantle with the perfection of the kingly anointing and the perfection of the apostolic priestly anointing. And I saw it come down on the right hand of God, seven torches. And I saw those torches come and fill the whole earth. He was looking at the last day move of God. Of the bridal company, which is you and me. Ooh. The first testimony of the lampstand. Say the first testimony. The power. And he said, thou hast made under our God kings and priests, and we're going to reign on the earth. There's a bridal company that's going to reign. It's not going to be like the first church. They're going to be given dominion and authority. It's going to be for a short season, but it's going to be powerful. They're going to display and witness and testify that he is Savior of the world. They're going to testify to the church that he is the apostle and high priest of our profession. And they're going to testify to Mammon that he is the king of the earth and its resources. There's a bridal company of Joseph that will rise up taking dominion. And it'll be such a level of dominion that the pharaohs of the earth will know there's a true and living God again. The pharaohs of the earth don't know and don't care. Because they haven't seen that kind of authority yet. They're going to see it. It's going to be testified to them by a bridal company. They're going to give power to reign on the earth. However long, I don't know. But it's been prophesied. It's part of the seven horns and the seven eyes that are going to get downloaded into the church when this candlestick gets lit. He says, and they're collecting the prayers right now. And the elders are collecting the prayers because the Lamb is about to walk unto the Father and get this book and open the seal. And wait till you find out what's in that seal. Because the seal begins it. The first seal begins the operation of the testimony of the church. Verse 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. And the beast and the elders and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands. Saying with a loud voice, why did they say this now? Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Because those seven inheritances are about to get released down to the lampstand. That's how the kings and priests are going to rule and reign. Those seven inheritances are coming through the lampstand. They're coming by way of the seven horns and the seven eyes. It's an operation of the Holy Spirit. You can look at it like this. The Holy Spirit's about to be re-poured out. All the power of that first one, there's power coming in the second one. Why? Because it's another operation added to it. There's the seven horns with it. It's the perfection of his kingly anointing. The early church didn't operate in his kingly anointing. They operated because they were building the foundation of the apostolic priesthood. But the kingly anointing is getting out. That's why he said, there's going to be kings and priests. They're going to rule and reign. Because the seven horns and the seven eyes, the seven spirits of God are going into all the earth. They're going into all the earth. He said in Zechariah chapter 4. He said it there in Revelation. It's going to happen. And it's a brand new anointing. For those that are waiting in an upper room. And one accord. Holy Ghost is getting poured out again. Do you understand? Seven spirits of God are coming down again. There are seven torches in the right hand of God. John saw the seven torches. In the next chapter he said that seven spirits of God are coming down into the earth. It's going to rest upon the bridal company of the kings and priests of this last hour. Going to light his church up. You have not seen evangelism while we're about to see it in this hour. You haven't seen prophets arise you're going to see in this hour.
Apostles are going to rise in this hour. Kings and Josephs are going to rise. The whole bridal company of the eight operations are going to rise up with an authority and a power. How do you know? Keep reading. Well, when is it going to happen? First seal. Seven inheritances are coming down through the lampstand. You haven't seen power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. But remember the early church, they were an overcoming church assigned to adversity. Not even the Roman Caesars could put their lights out. They did some horrible things to them. Never, under all the persecution, could not put their lights out. This is going to be a reigning bride. How do you know? Read on. They're getting ready in heaven because they're seeing this. And watch what happens. Very interesting verse here. Verse 13. And every creature, all of creation, it said, because John's seeing this thing to come. And all, every creature, all of creation, which is in heaven and on the earth. Say on the earth. Somebody go start shouting. And under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying. They started saying something. Out of the earth rose a glory and a praise, because they were catching wind that the Lamb is about to open the first seal. And they said, blessing and honor and glory and power be on him that sitteth upon the throne. Open the seal. Open the seal. The prayers of the saints have arisen. The bowls are full. It's all ready to go. When he opens that seal, all the prayers that have been prayed have been prayed. It's going to time to run now. When he opens that seal, it's going to time to run with an anointing that encompasses Elijah and Elisha's anointing. All of the early church's anointing will be packed up into it. Solomon's anointing will be up in it. David's anointing will be up in it. The fullness and the perfection of his kingly anointing is going to come down upon that bride. Y'all ready to look at the seal?
I'm going to look at a couple of them. I'm most interested in the first one. I have never seen this in my life till today. Holy Spirit just took that flashlight and just whoo. We're still talking about the church's testimony. If you don't have the understanding of what's going on in chapter 4 and chapter 5 with an understanding of Zechariah chapter 4, you can't understand what's going on in that first seal. But because we do, because we have a really wonderful teacher in the Holy Spirit, now we can understand what that first seal means. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw, when the Lamb opened the seal, I mean, there was people in the earth shouting. There was people in heaven shouting. They had collected the prayers. This thing was ready to go. He ascended at the right hand of the Father. He got the book and he peeled back the first seal. The show is on. Once that seal is opened, it's on. That begins the testimony of the lampstand. As of two, they were all looking at it and say, this is what's about to happen. This is what's about to happen. They're looking at it in heaven. They know what's going to happen. Now we're looking at it in the earth. We know what's about to happen. The Lamb's about to get the first seal. That's how close we are. And the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, like the Holy Ghost coming down again. And one of the four beasts said, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering to conquer. Say, he went forth conquering to conquer. Now, every scholar almost believes that they have two different thoughts on this guy, this white horse. They don't know what to do with it, because they know in Revelation 19, Jesus comes in the Battle of Armageddon on the white horse. So they're trying to put him there in that horse. But the problem is there's three more horses that follow, and those horses have already had their stay by the time you get to Revelation 19. Those three horses don't follow Revelation 19. So they don't know what to do. They say, well, it's not really in chronological order. It is in chronological order.
This is a different horse than the one he's riding in Revelation 19. But he's riding that one too. Then some of them will say, well, it's a counterfeit horse. Because this horse is triumphant and it's victory. And he goes forth in conquest, in triumph, and in victory. And they almost all agree about that. He goes forth in conquest to conquer. And he's victorious wherever he rides. That's what it says. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Notice what else it said. And there was a crown upon him that rode that horse. That was a kingly horse. It had a kingly anointing upon him. It had the seven horns resting upon him. That horse was a movement before the next horse came. That horse proceeded. And it was the beginning of all things. When that horse got released through the first seal. See, they're wanting to see judgment here. But they're seeing a white horse that's going around conquering with conquest. The next horse is red. He's war. And then the next one's famine. He's a black horse. And then the next one's pale horse, death and hell. But they don't understand what to do with this white horse. It's the four horsemen of the apocalypse, but he's not supposed to come out victoriously conquering. He's supposed to, we should be in judgment right now. But we're not. The first seal was not judgment. The first seal that got open was following chapter 5. Because they were making intercession in chapter 5. Somebody come and open this book and release the kings and priests and the lamb. This horse had a crown on it. It was the crown that's going to release upon the body of Christ. It's the last day movement. But the body of Christ, that horse has been prophesied. It's the one the kings and the priests of the last day are going to ride. And it's going to go forth victoriously conquering. It's got a crown on it. And it's going to come right before the red horse. This one is a horse that went around conquering. It's a white horse. It was a glorious horse. It was full of majesty. It was full of glory. It was the one they were waiting on in chapter 5. It was the one all those prayers were collected for. It was the one that was going to assist the king, priest, government in releasing. It was the one the bridal company was going to run with. The bridal company was going to ride this horse. She was going to display splendor. She was going to testify to the world before she rides it right up on out. This was the first testimony of the bride. It's not the one in Revelation chapter 19. Couldn't be. Because that's the end of all things. When he rides that one, they're done. There's nothing following that one. When he comes into Revelation chapter 19, they're done. Death and hell, he's going to pick up the false prophet and Antichrist right on the battlefield. He's going to pick them up alive and throw them in the lake of fire. Alive! They're not going to be following him. These horses are in chronological order because that first horse is a bridal company horse. But kings and priests are going to reign. I'm getting real excited about it because that means the first seal. The first seal. That gets open. That's our seal. That's the one we want. That's not the one we run to the hills for. That's the one we're looking for. We're wanting that one open, and that's how close we are. That's a victorious horse. And that seal's going to get unlocked here very, very soon. And when that horse is finished running and victoriously conquering, and testifying of the majesty and the kingly anointing, testifying when it runs, the body of Christ is going to run, it's going to shift the dispensation. Watch what happens here between the first horse and the second horse. Verse 2, I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. In majesty, he rode victoriously. That's us. That's the king priest.
That's the seven horns and the seven eyes getting released upon the earth. That's why he said a crown on that horse. It's carrying that kingly government into the earth.
Oh, the seven-year tribulation.
Listen, we have a time before that. And God has a plan in the seven-year tribulation, too. Because the witness is going to shift. Now, I don't want to argue about your eschatology, but I'm just telling you, I'm pre-tribulation rapturous, caught up kind of guy. I do that because I have a lot of different things. I'll show you why I believe that way. But I'm not going to do that tonight. Because he's going to have other witnesses carry the lampstand. It's going to transition its witness. It's going to transition from an age of demonstrating his grace into transitioning to judgment. In a time of judgment. We'll get into that, but not tonight. Watch the transition between the two horses. Revelation chapter 6. And then he opened the second seal and heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. Now notice what happens here. There's no victorious conquering on this one. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. There was a major shift. One was victoriously conquering, and all of a sudden, the red one shows up and peace is taken from the earth. Right there, that shift, I believe right between those two horses begins the seven-year tribulation. Right between those two. Because the rest of those three, you got famine that follows. And after that, the pale horse is death and hell followed that one. That's all tribulation. That first one was a pre-tribulation testimony of the bridal company. Because God is going to extend his mercy. And God's going to extend his sickle. His first sickle's coming by way of us. But he's not done. Even when it begins, he's not done. He's just getting started. He's going to extend mercy all the way down into the final day. God is after this world. But he is going to give this world such an awesome display of splendor. Because there is a Holy Ghost, seven spirits of God with seven horns and seven eyes that are coming out of the right hand of God. There are seven torches burning and they're coming down on the opening of that first seal. It's going to mount that horse with a bridal company of kings and priests. They're going to ride that horse into every nation of the earth. And everybody that can hear him are going to hear them. He's going to testify to everything. Go about here seeing the devil behind every bush. You're going to see God behind every bush. His people are going to be lit up. That's his first major harvest. Before the red horse begins, he's going to release that testimony. That's the first major testimony of that lampstand. And then it transitions. Because that's when we get lifted up, caught up. All those that went before us, their bodies, they're going to rise first. And we're going to rise right there with them. Amen? But that's only the beginning of the harvest. The white horse that's victoriously, that's us. We get that season and that time that God's going to give such an awesome testimony. I've been telling you for 4 or 5 years that God is going to take the glories of the right hand of God and download them into the earth. He's going to do that with a bridal company. The whole, the power, the riches, the wisdom, the strength. Zechariah's prophecy is going to get fulfilled. Haggai chapter 2's prophecy is going to get filled. The glory's coming and the gold and the transference of wealth is coming. It's only going to come for a season. These people think we're going to go through the tribulation and we're going to take over the world. No, you're not. You're going to ride victoriously for the purpose of testifying to the world and win as many as we can. And when that testimony's done, that horse is getting ready for the next one.
When our testimony's over, the 70th week of Daniel begins. We'll get into that later. The two olive trees go from a bridal company of kings and priests to two individual super witnesses. They're going to carry the mantle of God for the first 3.5 years. I'm just going to introduce them by 1-2 verses, and we're going to close and pick them back up. So if you'll go over here, Revelation chapter 11, hold that, and look at Zechariah chapter 4, because as soon as these horses transition, somewhere in that transition, some of them talk about there's a war before the 7 year, before the Antichrist confirms the covenant. I get that. Could happen right after that war horse. I don't know. But I guarantee you, by the time famine shows up and death and hell shows up, you're in the middle of it. Some of them horses, he's going to transition into the 7 year tribulation, our Daniel's 70th week. I'll talk to you more about that later. I'll give you more understanding about it. You got your finger in Zechariah chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 11. Now, what it says in Zechariah chapter 4, when Zechariah is looking at these olive trees, he asked the question, verse 11, he answered and said, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick upon the left side? He answered again and said to them, what be these two olive branches which through the golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? He answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no. Remember, this is a prophecy, this whole lampstand. These are the two anointed ones, say two anointed ones, that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. These witnesses stand by the Lord. They stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, the first interpretation, by the way, of the two anointed ones are the sons of fresh oil. Because there is a dual meaning there. Because the first olive trees are not the two. They're the bridal company of kings and priests. But when the bridal company is lifted out, it shifts to two actual witnesses. Now, a lot of people say, well, they're not actually two. Oh, yeah, there's two. And there's something powerful. These two witnesses are referred to in the book of Revelation. And it says they stand by the Lord of the whole earth. They are going to offer up testimony to the world. But now it's shifted. They're not in the grace and the victorious time now. They're in judgment now. These guys are something powerful. So these two olive trees become global witnesses. Where the church gets taken out, now the super witnesses show up on the scene. Two witnesses carry God's testimony for 3.5 years. Just like Moses did and just like Elijah did. And they confront powers of the world. I'll just introduce them and then we'll close. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. I will give power unto my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Here we go. 1,260 days. That's exactly 3.5 years on a Jewish calendar. Clothed in sackcloth. And these are the two olive trees. Say, these are the two olive trees. There was no reference like that anywhere in the Bible but Zechariah chapter 4. The bridal company is lifted out. They were the witness of the olive trees as the bridal company of kings and priests. Now these become the two olive trees, these two witnesses. And they're the two candlesticks now. See, the candlesticks, the witness, Holy Ghost is now sitting on them, standing before the God of the earth, and they carry the testimony for 3.5 years, the first 3.5 years. They're going to prepare the 144,000. How could 144,000 be the first fruits if they were born again before that period? If they were born again, they'd go up with us. If they're the first fruits, then there has been a shift in the dispensation. Couldn't call them first fruits. We're not first fruits. Early church was first fruits. If they were born in our dispensation, they could not be first fruits. Understand that? They have to be born again once the dispensation shifts. Once the 7 years begin, they're going to get born again in the first 3.5 years by the two witnesses, by the word. The point is the lampstand is going to shift now.
Part of the prayers that we're praying up in this place, those prayers are being collected. We've been carrying this by faith. It's way far beyond us. If something's been ordained of God, but God has given us a mission and a calling. If you want to know what we're about, we are called to birth. Our prayers are all about seeing that candlestick and those seven torches come out of the right hand of God into the earth. Our prayer is to see the emergence of the king, priest, governor. It's a prophesied, ordained movement, and it will be commissioned by the Lord Jesus himself. Mark my words, he's going to commission that.